Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is another excellent week with a toy artist all the way from Finland, Shotgun Karaoke, our first Finnish toy artist coming on Toys on Tap. If you want to support Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It's free for you. It means the world for us. If you want to jump on and see what Toys on Tap is doing, all social media is at Toys on Tap. And if you want a little bit more, we're back with Nitty Gritty this week. You can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/ToysOnTap. That's where you will find Nitty Gritty episodes, video interviews, all kinds of stuff that is just on the Patreon. Now, let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
Hey, it's working great, man. I'm glad that you're on. I'm pumped. Me too, all the way from Finland.
Right. It's so glad to be talking to you. Finally. Glad to see you.
Heck yeah. It's always crazy bringing on people on the opposite end of the world. It's just a crazy thought that this like toy scene is everywhere. Resin or Sifubi or whatever, but it's just such a shock each time. Even after 3 years of doing this, it still is so shocking that this exists everywhere.
Yeah. And the amount of like, you know, new people just coming up almost like, you know, monthly. I still keep on scrolling on Instagram and like, if not daily, I'm like, who is this? And all of a sudden it's another rabbit hole again.
Yeah. And I like the cool thing is like hopefully Toys on Tap is a place that they stop immediately and they're like, oh, what's this? But sometimes they get by and there's so many that I've never even heard of.
Yeah. I mean, can't remember what the account was, but like another Polish account, all of a sudden there's like a huge boom again on the like, you know, Polish independently produced figurines and like, you know, and proper action figures as well. I'm just like mind blown.
I just had my second Polish artist on, or I guess my first, because the first one that I had on was, oh man, I can't remember his name. He did a book called that was all about the Star Wars bootlegs in Poland.
You're talking about Jakub.
There we go. And I not an artist, I guess. Not he doesn't make, but he has like the biggest collection you can have, and it's so insane.
And he's an insane person as well. I know he's like academically, he has a he's a professor of like, I can't remember if it was like musicology or something, but like very, very particularly. And then all of a sudden that whole like, you know, bootleg Polish Star Wars scene, and you know, just like how immersed he has been in it, you know, the first edition of the book he didn't even get the funding for, he funded it for himself.
Yeah,
so like that's just a level of dedication that's just like, you know, mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it's wild to talk to people that take and this is going to sound crazy. It's wild to talk to people that take toys seriously. Because for all of us, we do. But then there's another level of seriousness that exists out there. Like, I know one of them but he's so specific and just Polish bootlegs. I know that there's a guy named Scott who goes by Yo-Yo Dine, and he is really specific in how bootleg toys and bootleg culture has impacted culture as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that like there is so much stuff that's deeper. Like even Dove from DKE at one point taught some classes down at a community college in Orange County that kind of like he taught on what I don't remember if it was one or if it was a whole class he did. He taught on like designer toys.
Right. I think it was like a series of lectures, because like I'm still trying to finish my master thesis on the whole subject of bootleg toys and indie, you know, indie art and stuff like that. And me and Yo-Yo Dine, by the way, big shout out to him. He's a scholar too. And nice. We've been, you know, touching very, very much on the similar subjects. And yeah, we've been sharing some knowledge back and forth. And Scott's also one of those, like, you know, dudes in the scene who can, you know, you can just talk to him and the amount of information and love that he gives back to you is just like overwhelming.
Yeah, it's insane. He's a cool guy. I get to hang out with him every year at Designer Con, and so we'll see if I get to hang out with him. But this episode is not about any of them. It's just about you. I'm pumped that you're on. I have to ask you to do two things. One, you got to introduce yourself. We got to figure out who you are, what you do, but you got to introduce yourself in both. I'm assuming you speak Finnish.
Right.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do in Finnish and then do it in English?
First Finnish and then in English, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hei kaikille. Olen Shotgun Karaoke. Oikealta nimeltäni Tom. Asun Helsingissä. Ja teen bootleg indie figuureja ja action figuureja. Pow. And the same in English for you folks. Hi, my name is Shotgun Karaoke. Also called Damo, or you can just call me Tom. And what I do is bootleg indie action figures all the way from East Helsinki.
That's what I'm talking about. Now my listenership's going to get boosted in Finland, which is awesome.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, I think the cool thing is, like, if you're in the toy scene, you're on my list.
Right.
And the list is ever growing and always shifting. But if you're in the toy scene, you're on the list. And so it's just a matter of time before I, like, run out of people. I got a couple more years, but when that happens, what a bummer. I'll just have to cycle through. But this episode's about you. Walk me back. We always have to figure out who the person is and how they got to this point in making toys. Growing up in a different country always provides a different aspect or a different view of what toys and culture looks like. So take me back as a kid. What toys do you have? What shows? All that stuff.
Maybe one thing that's got to be mentioned first of all is that the amount of toys that the Finnish audience ever receives has been a fraction of all that you guys been available and you've had access to. So, and same thing with the comics and the cartoons as well. So I remember a time when we had, like, you know, that classic, maybe three different channels.
Okay.
Four, if we were lucky. It was basic cable, and, you know, it took maybe 3 years before or after that, you know, it started to, like, you know, the variety became more and more. But we had, like, Transformers and Turtles, and before that there were, I can't remember if it's called Silver Fang or what's that in English, but like the Silver anime Hawk? About the no the Silver Fang, the like pack of dogs fighting the big bears.
Okay, I never even heard of that, so that's awesome.
It's for some reason it became a very, very big thing, especially in Finland.
Yeah.
And it was bloody. It was like very, very, you know, not something that you would necessarily want to see, you know, as a 7 or 6 year old kid, you know, having your cereal morning Saturday cartoons, and all of a sudden there's, like, you know, proper like, you know, bears being savagely attacking these dogs. Blood and organs gushing everywhere.
Yeah. When did you figure out that Because I mean, as a kid, you're just in the toy aisle, right? Like, there's no way to really guess that there's anything outside of whatever you see. And so when did you figure out that you in Finland only got a portion of what existed?
This was one of those things because Finland has also been mentioned as, you know, how we idolized the American culture so bad that if we had, let's say, a cousin who went to the States and came back, we kind of looked at him like, you know, as a god.
Okay.
Like, teach us about that foreign culture. Like, is it so cool?
Yeah.
Is it so cool that we actually, you know, like, you know, fantasize it to be? And, you know, they were kind of like, you know, bragging their ass about it. Even though it might have not been like, you know, such an experience because, you know, we as white kids, probably one of the safest environments to be is, you know, in a hotel in fucking, you know, segregated areas.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so, like, did that kind of shape, like, once they would go visit or whatever, they come back, do they just say, like, oh, you have no idea what you're missing out on? Like, there's so many other toys.
During the 90s, this was, you know, also culture. I'm talking about, like, you know, basketball. I'm talking about rap music. You know, somebody came with tapes. I'm hugely influenced by the whole, like, you know, underground rap music scene. Mm-hmm. And that was also one of those things that Finland is peculiar. Like, we have less than 6 million people, but we have a huge amount of West Coast underground rap tapes, you know, just lying in people's, you know, boxes, I would say, at this point. But, like, you know, the people who are in hardcore and heavy into, you know, certain issues, you know, just, you know, there's a whole bunch of people here in Finland.
That's crazy. You know, it's crazy to hear a number like 6 million.
Right.
And just perspective. I live in a city that's 1.8 million people just in the city.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys, like, you and Finland isn't, like, you know, we're not too small. Like, it's a big country and we just live kind of sparse.
Yeah. That's crazy. And I'm assuming you grew up there the whole time, right? Never left, never.
Technically, I was born in Singapore.
Okay.
My mom and dad are Finns, but they were working there. And, you know, I just happened to be there when, you know, I came out. And I was less than 1 year old when we moved to Finland. And I used to grow up in a town called Vaasa.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been living in Helsinki for, I guess, 12 years now.
Yeah. Tell me about the toy stores as a kid. Like, here in the U.S., it was like, man, I mean, most of them don't exist anymore, but it was like Toys R Us and KB Toys, and there was one that was weird about, like, stuff, but yeah.
I mean, like, when we were super young, there were more independent stores.
Yeah. But
early in the 90s, the recession hit.
Mm.
Meaning that a lot of those stores had to close their doors anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That left us with basically supermarket toys. And they have their own very, very limited selection.
Yeah.
And Helsinki being the capital of Finland, all the cool shit basically happens here. And if you have, like, you know, any niche type of audience, the only way for them to strive, especially during in the 90s, had to be either in Helsinki or maybe in another town that's like a little bit smaller. Like, you know, you get the drift. There it wasn't too many anyway.
That's crazy.
And in Helsinki, I remember because it was always like a pilgrimage if we came, let's say, from Vaasa. It's approximately 600 kilometers, like, what, 500 miles or something.
Yeah.
So you don't visit there every day. and all the cool shit was there. So we basically were just saving money that we could spend in these Helsinki shops, whether they be clothes or whether it be music. And there was actually this shop called Kukunor, and they had comics and some collectible items. And that was during that time, you know, some people referenced when the toy collecting wasn't, you know, it wasn't there, but you might see a cool character from your, you know, from your past, let's say like a Motu figure or something. And you're like, oh, I used to have that. And then you save that and you, let's say, put it over your record player or like on the shelf, kind of like, yeah, you know, one small trophy. And I had that phase too. Like, I can't say I was really a collector as a kid anyway. I had a lot of toys, but we're also from that culture where for some stupid reason, you will have to give your toys away, let's say, a younger relative. And they're not short on money. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they could have bought their own toys.
Yeah.
But for some stupid reason, I had to give out all my toys to them. And let's say I wanted, you know, like a Super Nintendo, like a 16-bit.
Mm-hmm.
That means I would have to give out my old 8-bit Nintendo away in order for my parents to, for some reason, you know, kind of like, you know, make me earn it, even though it's not like, you know, nothing to do with earning.
Yeah. I'd be so pissed.
The only lesson I learned is, like, I lost a lot of good games, man.
Yeah. Here, I think I don't know what it's like for cultures outside of the US, but here they have things called garage sales or yard sales. And what usually happens is if you're a kid that has toys and you have uncool parents, they would take your toys and sell them in the yard sale when you were a kid. And that means, like, those are gone forever. At least if you pass them down to a family member, you might get them back. The yard sale ones are gone forever, and it sucked. But now I think all the collectors that went through that are now in the business of, like, collecting back all the ones they got rid of. That's why I have, like, Street Sharks galore behind me and stuff.
But that's exactly the thing, like, you know, and they do have some yard sales here, but not too many toys anyway.
Yeah.
Because some of them, you know, who had those, let's say, early 80s or early 90s action figures have already gotten rid of them. And some of them are very, very prized, you know, like, you know, they tend to look around the internet for the prices. And then they go for the highest bidded one, and then they wonder why they don't sell.
Yeah. Ugh, it's crazy. So as you get older, you get rid of the toys. Art kind of plays a part in all of our lives because of what we do. Right. When does art start to kick into your life?
Probably when I was 13 or 14. Like, we had that first very, very bad nu metal band that everybody needed to have when they were at that age. And then I met this one guy who introduced me to rap. Like, you know, I've been listening to hip hop, but, like, you know, like, I actually started to think about, you know, doing it myself.
Yeah.
And that was basically my whole, that was basically me for the next 20 years from then on.
Okay.
Like, I've been releasing independently music for that whole time, not so actively maybe, but like, you know, there's a few releases lying around lingering in the internet.
Yeah. Did that kind of, I mean, underground rap culture brings with it a whole lot of stuff. It brings with it, like, fashion, it brings with graffiti, all that stuff. Did that kind of also play a part in who you were?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is that I should probably mention the Quasimodo figure from the Stone's Throw collection that they did. I can't remember when it came out the first time, like probably early 2000 or like 99 for the vinyl figure that they did. And that was kind of like, you know, something that, like I said, I never saw myself as a collector, but if I saw a cool item, I was definitely interested. And that was like, you know, ah, cool, they're bringing toys back. And that was like one of those connections when, you know, I started to, and that was all about feel. A friend of mine had that figure. And when just touching some object made me feel like, you know, very, very differently about than any other object before, that was super interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it was probably COVID, because I got laid off from my previous work as a coffee roaster. And I just got bored. And all of a sudden, I'm, you know, stuck with this weird ass culture that, you know, we're references right now.
Yeah. When you get laid off in 2020, right. I mean, some of us got, like, we just escaped. We got lucky and kept jobs. Some of us got laid off. Some of us, like, going back to have that much freedom and free time. Oh, man. I don't know. I would give a lot to go back to that kind of free time. But
right.
When it came to getting laid off and kind of just, like, looking around and taking stock of what was up, what was that like? Before, because that's before you kind of stepped into the art world a little bit.
Yeah. And to be honest, I've been, you know, trying to find one of those, like, you know, what was a key point of, like, you know, getting into the culture and everything. And it's been kind of hard. Because I remember running into maybe Tilly Bean Toys and Healy Made.
Okay.
About the same time. But I didn't quite understand what the thing was. But I just, you know, went through their whole profile, and all of a sudden I'm like, especially with Healing it, like, okay, this guy makes these himself. Okay, some of these look like that they've been, you know, printed in a factory, but anyway, like, okay, this thing just hits me different.
Mm-hmm.
And
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 3.75 inch or 1/18 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSONTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
Maybe it was from, you know, just getting from their followers and, you know, getting through different profiles and all that, when I just kind of like realized that there's a whole international scene and everybody's doing it kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
But then people still had that, you know, one connection point, you know, that, you know, got me, you know, stuck into it too. Cause
yeah,
I think I'm a community guy in a way, like, you know, I do things solo, but I still like to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those things, cause I think I sent Sam a message and he replied me like instantly. And the way how personal he was and everything, just, it was so heartwarming. And maybe during that, you know, especially a very, very awful time, because I remember when COVID hit, I was also very, very satisfied about the amount of free time. But now looking back, I can definitely see that I was just maybe caving in a little bit.
Mm. That's a good, like, good self-awareness to look back and see that kind of stuff happening.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I wish that when people came in to the scene, they saw, like, it's hard when you come into the scene first and you see people like Sucklord, because his, though he makes bootleg or whatever you want to call those action figures, they don't look like the general action figures. And so if you encounter him first, it makes this scene look crazy. If you encounter Healy Mae first, it makes the scene look a little more balanced. And so that's something I always think about. But you discover them, and at some point you kind of pivot that, like, oh, I see what they're doing. How do I do that?
Yeah, yeah.
When did that happen?
I also, naturally, I got to mention Sucklord too, because it was... I had probably seen his stuff before, but I just didn't make that connection, because the whole backer art thing compared to, let's say, the Healy Mae figures that I saw first, because there wasn't, like, you know, any fancy backer art on them. So at first I thought it was kind of more artsy, but then I made that connection because there's one particular guy in Helsinki who's also been into the heavy, like, you know, heavy to the toy scene. And he has an early Sucklord piece, like something that he's been selling straight from his website or something. Mm-hmm. And that's probably 10 years old now. Like, made on plywood.
Oh, yeah. Probably some chipboard and stuff. Yeah, he's been doing it for a while. Yeah. So who knows what piece that is.
We actually had that in our, because we have a small recording studio, a few, you know, 20 minutes mile, you know, from here. And it's just been sitting there. And I didn't even realize that it was a Sucklord piece before, let's say, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then, I mean, I like Morgan or Sucklord. I like him a lot. He's been on the podcast. Man, he has like 6 episodes on here. And it was cool.
Yeah, sorry, I pivot.
No, that's okay. It's cool to have him on and talk about his work and stuff, because it is influential. So at what point did you start to make then, or realize that you wanted to be a part of this?
At first, I was only interested in the whole scene. Like I said, I was still trying to finish my master thesis on the subject. Mm-hmm. And I remember my teacher, like, you know, looking straight into my eyes and being like, I have a bad feeling that you're going to start making these yourself, and you're not going to be focusing on the whole writing process.
Yeah.
And I think I promised her, like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I still haven't finished that paper.
Uh-oh.
So I can't even remember what happened. I think I bought one of those, like, you know, easy 2-part silicones that you just need together.
Yeah.
And I had maybe a Star Wars toy that I just, you know, picked up. Maybe just because I just saw somebody do it on YouTube, and it sucked horribly. Mm-hmm. I remember I didn't maybe knead it correctly, or I took it off when it was still too sticky, but it just ended up, you know, basically messing up my bottle super, super bad.
Yeah.
And I just didn't give up for some stupid reason.
I mean,
and maybe. Yeah, yeah. And
maybe that's how we all start.
That I was talking, I continued on talking to people. People were very, very encouraging. And that's probably the reason that I still kept on going.
Tell me about this master thesis. Did you start writing this thesis on bootleg toys before you saw the scene?
I started writing it when I was getting into the scene.
Okay.
I still wasn't making stuff on my own. I had another account before I had the Shotgun Karaoke.
Okay. Your master's in?
It's on the cultural heritage studies. Okay. And the thing is that I've been, you know, I got in before, was it 2003?
Mm-hmm.
And even though I wouldn't be attending very actively, they technically, they can't kick me out. I just have to apply and beg on my knees every time, like, you know, hey, I only need to finish these courses. Could I please, please maybe come? And I could also finish my thesis. Yes, yes, yes. And technically, there's a lot of writing to do.
Yeah. What do you plan on going back?
Bigger and bigger. If I could, I would. But financially, it's kind of impossible at the moment.
Yeah.
I still have to be, you know, on a 9-to-5, and it's okay, but the pay isn't too good in order for me to actually, you know, let's say, like, save money for stuff. So yeah.
Holy moly. Yeah, I have a master's, and I hated going through that process, and luckily I got out of it and got the master's before I gave up, but definitely not in toys. I should have done that now that I have Toys on Tap and all this stuff. When you started, everyone chooses a name, and we kind of go off of the name. Some of us have meanings behind the name, some of us don't. Mine started in a weird way with Yucko Toys. Toys on Tap started in a weird way. Tell me about Shotgun Karaoke.
It is a peculiar name, but selfishly, it's a self-reference to a lyric of mine.
Okay.
Like an old, old underground, very, very emo lyric.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's, as long as it has meaning, right? Like, so many of these names, it just...
There's also somebody from Canada who makes country music. So if you type in Shotgun Karaoke, it's either going to be my track or his.
Oh. Well, all right. Let's go find this Canadian Shotgun Karaoke.
Yeah. I've been listening to that one. It's a banger.
Yeah. So you started making toys, or you got yourself into the process of making toys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In 2022... we see the first post on your Instagram with toys. Now, you started making before then. Is that the first time that you wanted to kind of show the world? Is that the first time that you wanted to sell them? What is that?
It was the first time, you know, presenting myself to let's say, supposedly an audience, because I knew that the things weren't perfect, but I'm very, very picky on, you know, how I'm coming out with different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because by English not being my second native. So I'm always trying to, like, you know, double check everything that I'm typing, and, you know, I still find mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just, you know, maybe in a frenzy or something. Because especially in the beginning, I felt super, super excited every time, you know, if somebody even gave a like to one of my photos. So I don't know. I'm still doing it for the, you know, for the kind of, like, you know, I'm not saying a reaction. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a community type of person. So every time, if it's a friend, because I consider one of the, like, you know, many of these people almost, like, you know, close friends anyway. So it's kind of like a personal fist bump or on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that first post is always crazy, weird, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it kind of sets a trajectory on what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I first started making, it was like finding things and putting them in blisters. And then it went from there, and I started making my own stuff. And But yeah, that was the initial thing, and it set me up to do that for a little bit, and luckily I got out of that because I wanted to make my own stuff. But those first toys kind of set you up.
And I've been trying to grow everything I do, maybe let's say organically, because I tend to express everything, you know, if there's, let's say, a miscast of a toy, or, you know, something was off with the coloring, or, you know, I'm not very good at painting or stuff like that. You know, like, we twins especially tend to explain ourselves very, very much.
Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, we feel bad for it, for ourselves. It's kind of like, you know, we just feel very, very honest about, you know, things.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm kind of jealous, even to, you know, let's say people in North America, the way how people are kind of, I'm not saying selfishly promoting themselves, but they are seemingly very, very happy about their product.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm striving for as well, you know, trying to, like, you know, present myself in a, I'm not saying in a more professional manner, but, like, you know, try to be more open about the processes, but still being more proud and, you know, making it, because the whole Finland scene, because it's non-existent. There's only 3D printers, and people who are doing that are doing it very good, but I'm kind of like the only flagpoler, like, you know, at the whole scene. So I just try to make some good shit and, you know, have a laugh while doing it.
Yeah, are you the
not
only...
taking it too serious?
Yeah. Are you the only resin artist in Finland?
I'm not saying that I am, but have you noticed anybody else?
No.
Besides me? There's this one artist who popped up, Copper Inks.
Okay.
And this was maybe in the Sasquatch show that was just recently.
With ETC?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And she did a very, very cool, like a TMNT and Sasquatch mashup type of thing. And she only has like maybe 160 followers.
What's her name?
Copper Ink.
And she's in Finland with you?
Yeah, yeah, but never met her.
Yeah. Oh, she is a sculptor. Holy geez, she's good at what she does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I was losing my marbles when I was watching that live over at Toys Alive. And I think almost, you know, somebody got annoyed when I was like, oh my days. She's from Finland. Yay. Like, feeling stupid good about, you know, not even knowing her, but, like, you know, just knowing that there's somebody else besides me who's in some way in that same.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet. Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait. Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DLV2! Limited edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys!
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures!
DKE!
Same scene as I am.
Yeah, it's pretty spread out. You know, I've interviewed people from all over the world, and there are like... there's like two in Israel. There's one in Iran. There's a couple. All the ones in Europe are spread out between all the countries. Yeah. And it's crazy to think how split up and spread out it is. Because then you get to the U.S. and they're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. there's a lot of like, you know, designer cons and things like that. They are a thing of the Americas, but we do have a lot of people dressing up.
Cosplay?
In different cons. Yeah, yeah. The cosplay scene is very, very strong and very vivid. And people do kind of crazy things over at the 3D printer there too. But, you know, their scene is very, very separated from every other scene.
Mm.
So, and the thing is that, you know, if people do make toys in Finland, I still haven't just found channel where to meet them. So what I've been thinking about is, you know, if anything else, I will just set up a WhatsApp group or something.
Yeah.
Like Finnish creators.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. When you first started and you started figuring out what you wanted to make and do that, how did you settle? Because you do a lot of Star Wars figures in resin.
Yeah.
How did we settle there? Was this like a love for Star Wars, a love for what other people were doing? What was this?
It was kind of like a mirror to a lot of what other people were making. But then I also fell in love with the scale.
Yeah, 375 is such a good scale.
Yeah, yeah. I had almost forgot about how nice it was. Mm-hmm. But I think it was when I got a few Vomit and Droid bears that kind of set it off also. Like, you know, they just feel so good in your hand, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I have quite a few of the Vomiting Droid bears. He has blocked me from buying multiples whenever he does sales. he won't let me buy all of them. He's a smart guy. But I
kind of know that you have a history.
Yeah. It's like they're all right here. You can't really see them. But I mean, with Ewok toys, they're so good because there's such a history that comes with them. Like this is one of Peter's killer bootlegs from like 2012.
Nice.
And I just had to find it and pick it up, and I don't know what it is about Ewoks. I don't know what the heck is wrong with me. But
that was Flock, right?
Yeah. Ewoking Dead is the name of it.
Sick.
Yeah. But I mean, as you continued through, what have you noticed that your style is when it comes to making resin toys and being in the toy scene? Where do you find that you fit?
I think my approach at the moment is a little bit like Kurt Loss. Coming from my dad's an engineer. Mm-hmm. I retired, still, you know, an engineer by heart. So that has kind of stuck into me as well. Like I noticed that when I first started, I did Ewoks with no articulation.
Mm.
And after that, I jumped straight into making Star Wars kitbash. And after, you know, kitbashing, casting some resin out of that. And I'm trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to take a few steps back. I noticed that I'm especially struggling a little bit with some articulation, but that's something that, you know, I just try to be, you know, if I make another toy, I kind of like, you know, want to make it a little bit better than the previous one.
Yeah.
And there's actually one project particularly that's supposedly going to knock people's socks off.
Okay.
I might as well just show it now if that's okay to you.
Let's talk. Yeah, let's do this open thing.
I did say that there isn't too many people here in Finland, but there's this one dude called Vice Toy Customs 88.
Okay.
And hence the name. His profession is basically taking action figures and, you know, fixing them, all the joints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I got him into Abe's epoxy. So now he's, you know, technically just, you know, kid bashing and building, you know, stuff of his own too. And he had a kid bash that was so cool that I suggested that maybe we should actually mold and cast that. And what came as a result was this dude.
Wow. Tell me.
We call him the janitor.
The janitor. Tell me about the head on that. It kind of looks like a tardigrade. But or like a, is that a toxi? Maybe a.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Looks great.
Heavy toxi and TMNT influenced.
Yeah.
I think it's got 13 individually casted pieces altogether in that one.
And you're the one
It was a nightmare to make. It was a nightmare to make, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Are you the one that's doing all the molding and casting for it?
Yes. Yes. And here's actually another one that's completely
clear. He's good. When does this figure drop?
Once we get the packaging done.
Okay.
Hopefully in a month or two.
Okay.
We're getting assistance from a friend of mine, and you know, when he's doing it pro bono, it's something that, you know, you don't want to be kicking too hard, but you know, hopefully get that job done
ASAP. Yeah. Well, it looks great. I mean, holy moly, your casting and all that stuff is flawless on those pieces.
Thank you. Thank you. That was something that, like I told you, I'm approaching this like an engineer, because I grew up in this scene because just watching Robert Tolono Preston.
Yeah.
The COVID wasn't too bad because of them.
Yeah.
And every time I'm trying to do something new, I always just go through back that library and see if there's a video from Preston about it. And then just, you know, get on with the process. And this was something that was probably like Robert Tolone influenced. So if I could, I would always put a little tag on every single toy. So this is the material, this is the year, influenced by blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's a good idea. With all of this in mind, and you're looking over Shotgun Karaoke as a whole, what's next?
What's next? Hopefully new toys. At the moment, I would need to be getting some more finance for silicone, because I think I have enough for a very, very small project, but the things that I'm looking for require a little bit more. And I'm trying to get my study in a good condition. I just had some people over, you know, seeing a window, so I had to move everything from this one end of the room to the other. So it's still a little bit of a chaos in here. But once I get everything done, I'm hopefully back to airbrushing too. And a lot of different things, and try to finish that one packaging project. And
yeah.
And what else? I'm a lousy promoter, man. You gotta ask more.
Like, do you plan on doing shows soon? Are you going to do anything with Toys Alive? Are you shipping toys to the US?
Oh man, yes.
Okay.
There is a box that's got some stuff for you as well, my friend.
Nice.
And this will be leaving all the to the B to the J, hopefully tomorrow early in the morning.
Okay.
But I just realized, looking at the thing, and you know, some of the things on my table, that I forgot a few things from the package. which I have already taped up like a pro.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out in which corner I can dig in, just try to, you know, stuff some in. But yeah, there's approximately 1.5 kilos worth of things in here.
That's amazing.
It's mad because I don't know what if Brian has told you about that whole thing that he's been gathering for me, but he has a box from different artists who have, you know, just, you know, devotedly and single-handedly donated stuff, and I have no idea how big it is, and, you know, who has contributed in it. I know some names, but it's still going to be a surprise. And we made an agreement that because, you know, living in Finland, the shipping is so expensive, whether I would be sending stuff or whether somebody wants to send me stuff. So it's easier if everybody just, you know, huddles their stuff in that box and it's just going to be one big expense.
Yeah. I think I've sent you something, right? From a giveaway?
Have you?
I want to say I've sent you something. I don't know.
I don't think you have.
I want to say I have. I don't know. I've shipped stuff to the UK and all over Europe, and so it's hard to keep track of who's won stuff and who gets stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe I haven't. But maybe I should change that. You
probably remember because the shipping is so heavy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to look and see if I've done that. Dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap. It means the world that people give up their time and want to do an interview with this podcast.
Hey, sure. Hope I actually answered some of your questions because I've just got confused and overwhelmed by so many, many things. And first of all, I gotta give a huge shout out to, you know, Toys on Tap is one of those things that I've always wanted to do. And even babbling like an idiot, it's been a pleasure, man.
Dude, it's awesome. But we get to start, you know, every week we do a nitty gritty, and I've had to take a break for the last couple of weeks. But the nitty gritty episode is an extra 10 to 15 minutes that gets recorded between me and the artist, and it goes on my Patreon. And so we're going to move into that if you have an extra 10 minutes for me.
Yeah, sure.
And it's always specific. But before we get there, let's end this episode by just saying thank you so much for not only being in the toy scene, but coming on Toys on Tap.
Hey, it was definitely my pleasure, and I will come anytime you want to have me next time. So
there we go.